My name is Daniel Stevens. I'm the second born, Mark and Carol Stevens. I have three brothers, John Mark's back there, and there's Paul, and then Sam, he's a freshman in high school. I just want to start off telling you a little about growing up in my father's house, as I like to call it. I would invite friends over to come spend the night, you know, and some of them wouldn't want to come, because they'd been before, and I'd ask them why. So, we got to work. And, you know, I found out real quick who my real friends were. Because, you know, on Saturdays, Dad would get us up about 8 o'clock. We'd have to go and mow the yard or work on some house project or fix some gate or fix some toilet or build some shack or pour some concrete. And the list goes on and on. And that was how it was growing up in my dad's house. We would wake up before school in the morning, read our Bible, about 15 minutes. A lot of it was just going through the motions for me, just growing up. Just have to do it because, well, Dad said so. And if I didn't do what Dad said, that meant a spanking or some other punishment. That was never good. It got to a point that me and my brothers, we started calling my dad the slave driver. It's a little family joke. But it got so bad that I actually, sophomore year in high school, after sophomore year in the summer, I got two jobs just so I didn't have to be around the house, so I wouldn't be just vacant. So when Dad came home, he could put me to work on something. So I was mowing lawns that summer and working an irrigation job for Tom Akers. You know, I just didn't want to be home for Dad. Proverbs 13:1 says a wise son accepts his father's discipline, and you could say that growing up, Dad told me to do something, I'd do it, just because if I didn't, it meant. I mean, bad things would happen, but I didn't really embrace it, you know. It was about midway through high school, maybe about junior year. I just remember laying up in our guest room bed, just realizing that Jesus really did die for me. And with my parents' faith, it had to be my faith that God would give me. And I just remember crying and just accepting Jesus right then as Lord of my life. Not just a bunch of knowledge that I had acquired as being just being in the family and going to church and stuff. And so, Proverbs 13:1 says, I came across that verse a little bit after that. It says, a wise son accepts his father's discipline. I said, well, you know, I do want to be a wise son. And I want to do what my dad says. I want to embrace it. I want what he says to be what I want to do and not have any regrets. So, I started following what Dad told me. A lot more full, or wholeheartedly, you could say. So then, senior year of basketball rolls around. Quick little anecdote here. About, I guess, real little, our old house. Tevin Peterson came over one day on Avon Drive and gave him a basketball, and he dunked it. Tevin dunked.
Believe it or not.
On a 10-foot hoop. Dunked it for the first time. And I just remember as a little kid saying, wow. There's a man right there. And I said, I want to be like that guy. I remember him and your friend Jason used to come over. I remember y'all played. And y'all used to talk about your high school days playing basketball and how much fun it was. And I remember saying, oh, I want to play high school basketball. I want to be a star like Tevin. And you know, Tevin, you probably have no idea that you had that kind of impact, but those are the thoughts going through my head. I played freshman basketball, played sophomore year, played junior year. I was on the team, no playing time. We had a lot of good players, and I didn't get any playing time at all. So senior year, we get a new coach. This was my year to shine. This was my year to get the glory. My year to be the basketball star, be like Tevin. A new coach came in. We didn't really get along, partly because of me, probably, just my attitude. But we just didn't see eye to eye, and I didn't get any playing time. The first game of the season, I thought, you know, I was going to get a lot of minutes, but, I sat the bench the whole game. After the game, go back to the parking lot, just crying my eyes out, you know, because this is supposed to be my year, my time for the glory, and I worked so hard, and I deserve it. And it was hard because my coach would yell at me every day in practice, and he was always on my case. You know, this is not how it was supposed to be. And midway through the season, I remember driving to practice. I think it was during Christmas, so we were off school. And just driving to practice, a song came on the radio. One of the lyrics was, Are you who you want to be? That was one of the lyrics of the song. And I remember asking myself that question. And those two choices, it was either, do I want to be this basketball star that I've always wanted to be? Or do I want to follow Jesus and submit that to Him? And I made the choice that day going to practice about midway through the season that from now on, it wasn't going to be about me trying to be the star. It was about playing basketball for Jesus and doing that for Him. I still didn't play the rest of the year. I still got yelled at every day in practice for 2.5 hours and nothing changed as far as playing time went. I finally started the last game, senior night, first time I started. This was the last home game of the year, and so that was a neat feeling. Galatians 6:3, a verse that I came across, says, "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." I thought, I wanted to be somebody being that, getting the glory on the basketball team. But really, I'm nothing without Jesus is what really hit me through that whole senior year. You know, it's interesting because every day I would get yelled at on that court, and I wouldn't enjoy practice at all. 1 Peter, I think it's 5, the verse says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you at the proper time." So that's what I did, and it's funny, on that same court that I got yelled at every day, I also got honored at the end of the year just for grades, just for doing well in school. So, He exalted me in that way. So praise the Lord for that. But anyways, so there's Galatians 6:3. "For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." So, also senior year, a big thing going on in my life was deciding where to go to school, as Paul is in the process of doing right now. I had 3 schools I'd applied to: Naval Academy, Air Force Academy, and then Auburn for a ROTC scholarship. So I applied to all 3. My dream, of course, was to go to the Air Force Academy. In 6th grade, the summer of 1999, we lived out there in Colorado Springs, and I got to see the gliders going overhead every day, and I'd always wanted to fly, too. It was one of my dreams. Dad was able to get me to talk. We were able to talk to an old navigator guy named Jerry White. He was a general in the Air Force. He taught astronautical engineering at the Air Force Academy. So we were able to talk to him about what to do to get into this fine institution, and he said, "Be an Eagle Scout, make all A's in high school, and play a varsity sport." So that's what I did. I made Eagle, and you heard about how I played a varsity sport. And I made pretty close to all A's in high school. So that was in 6th grade, so I had this goal of going to the Air Force Academy. So anyways, December, my senior year comes around. I'm applying to Naval Academy, Auburn ROTC, Air Force Academy, and all 3 of them send letters back saying I can't get into any of them because of my medically disqualified. I had kidney surgery when I was 6 years old. They said that because of that, I wouldn't be able to get into any of the schools. So we sent in waivers, like big stack of 90 to 100 pages that Mom was able to work. Man, praise the Lord for her, I tell you what. So she was in charge of, she took charge of sending in all the waivers. This whole time, myself and my family were praying that God would just make it clear where He wants me to go to school. That was my prayer. Just make it totally clear, beyond a shadow of a doubt, where I know He wants me to go. So in April, I get letters back from all 3 schools. Auburn ROTC said that I still was medically disqualified. I guess the ROTC program, I said it still wasn't good enough. Naval Academy still said, no, you're still medically disqualified. But would you believe I got a letter from the Air Force Academy and said, yeah, you're good to go. We want you. So not only was it my only choice, but, God made it clear. And it was my only choice. So so Proverbs 16:3, it says, "Commit your works to the Lord and your plans will be established." So about December, you heard how I committed playing basketball for the Lord, also with my school. I really just focused it on the Lord, and it says your plans will be established. And well, that's what happened. I wanted to go to the Air Force Academy, and God delivered. So praise Him for that. So then, actually going to the Air Force Academy, you start out going to boot camp, 6 weeks of basic training. And so I show up first day, load me on the bus, sitting there saying, man, it's going to be a piece of cake. I've just been through the hardest senior year, getting yelled at every day in basketball practice. What can these 20-year-olds do to me? You kidding me? And so I just remember you get on the bus and they're yelling at you. And I'm just sitting there, you know, at attention and just kind of smiling to myself saying, man, I got this. And so then they load us, get us off the bus, and we got to stand in these little footprints. And there's a little guy comes up to me. He's, oh, like, probably about your size, Matt. Maybe a little shorter. And he looks up at me, and he looks at my name, and he says, Stevens, wipe that smile off your face. And so, you know, I tried. And he's like, Stevens, you better wipe that smile off your face. It's going to be a long 6 weeks. And, you know, that happened to me 5 times that day. I counted them. 5 times. 5 times. You better believe it. So that night, guess what I did? I worked on my frown. There's a mirror there in the room. And so I was, you know, sitting there like, all right, let's see. Just sat down a little bit, you know. There we go. And so I worked it out. You know, I had my frown face. And I actually wrote Dad a letter during that time. And he sent me a letter back. Gave me this verse, Isaiah 57. Isaiah 50, verse 7. It says, therefore I have set my face like flint. And if you know flint, it's flat. There's no edges or no protrusion. It's all the same everywhere. So anytime I'd just be marching, I'd say, okay, I set my face like flint and focus on. It's hard to do still, but focus on keeping it the same. But yeah, so the assault course, basic training. Will Banham here, he was with me on this one day. The assault course, just picture barbed wire everywhere, sand, dust, heat, puddles of water, little smoke grenade, little smoke grenades, different colors, and upperclassmen with their blue berets or black hats, and, you know, all the freshmen were having these M16 rifles, and we're low crawling, and we're having our high knees, and they got their whistles, and when they have the whistle, you know, we have to go down, do a push-up, come back up. And so it's just, just a time to break us down at the assault course, you know, the dreaded day. So the morning of the assault course, all the cadre, that's the upperclassmen in charge of us, usually they make us do some push-ups and stuff in the morning just to get our blood flowing. This morning they didn't. They told us it was going to be a rough day, so we didn't do any. And so the assault course, about an hour through it, I'm pretty tired, and this little girl, you know, she's upperclassman, and she's, you know, real little, and she yells at me to get on my back and go into this barbed wire on my back using my rifle to push it up, you know. And I'm pretty tired at this point, and I'm not used to taking orders from a little girl, and I don't know how to say that, but, you know, so I rolled my eyes at her, you know, I was just tired, I was like, man, get me out of here, this is a hard day, and she didn't like that, and, no, she didn't, and I paid the consequences for it. She made me go back to the beginning of the assault course, which by this point I'd already been on it for like an hour and a half or so, I guess. You lose track of time. I had to go back to the beginning, leave my classmates who are about to be done. We're about 3/4 of the way done. I had to go back to the beginning. Turns out I couldn't finish that day because I started cramping up so bad. I started stretching my quad. And, you know, I told them I was cramping, so they let me at least stretch, you know. And stretch this muscle, then this muscle start cramping, and stretch this muscle, and this muscle start cramping. So I couldn't finish. So they sent me to the med tent. But they put me on bed rest the next day, which is pretty nice. And that's when Job 5:18 came to mind. Job 5:18 says, for he inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds, but his hands also heal. And I memorized that during senior year playing basketball. And so the day before, I had just gotten the schnockers beat out of me, you know. And I was tired and sore. And the next day they give me bed rest. I get to sleep on my cot in the tent while the rest of my classmates have to leave and go get beat some more. And I just remember laying there and that verse came to mind. For he inflicts pain and gives relief. He wounds, but his hands also heal. It's Job 5:18. Isaiah 43:2 says, when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. And in basic training, there was only three things that satisfied. Number one, the Bible. Any chance I could, I had a little pocket Bible. I'd pull it out and read it. I had a little verse pack that I'd go over when I could. Any chance I could, I would read the Word of God. Something about going through hard times that, man, I just thirsted for it. Like nothing I'd ever felt before. The other two things that satisfied were food. Man, it didn't matter what it was, as long as it was edible, I'd eat it. And then sleep, those three things. But this verse says, when you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. And I said, God, I would love it if you could give me a friend that I could walk through this fire with. Give me a friend who I can relate to, somebody with Christian values and who believes in you like I do. Did you believe the next day, they gave us the day off, actually. They took us to a rodeo in Colorado Springs. It was the one day we got off during basic training. I sat next to this guy on the bus. I didn't know him. He was in my squadron, but we hadn't really had a chance to meet everybody, if you know what I mean. So his name is Will Banham, and he's sitting right back there. I sat by him, and we started talking, and right off the bat, I could tell that here's a guy who trusts in Jesus and who's living for the Lord. So God answered my prayer. He gave me a friend. We've been roommates for two whole years, and about to be almost three. What a blessing he's been in my life. So praise the Lord for that. So that was Isaiah 43:2. Yeah, I guess the reason 3 years is such a big deal is because at the academy, after your freshman year, they move you to different dorms. Like, it's random. Like, you'll leave your freshman squadron and go to totally different people and meet new people and room with them. And it just so happened that Will and myself were moved to the same squadron so that we could still be roommates. So praise the Lord for keeping us together and, you know, just keeping His promise to give me a friend to walk through fire with. So Isaiah 42:6-9 says, I am the Lord, I have called you in righteousness. I will also hold you by the hand and watch over you. And I will appoint you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the nations, to open blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon, and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another, nor my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you. After basic training, school starts in August, and I'm still in that mode getting up at 4:30. And when it's dark outside, I'm still in that mode getting up every morning. So I go and I found a little perch looking over Colorado Springs and looking over Air Force Academy. Richard Ray's been out there and I've showed him around, showed him a little perch there. So every morning I go out there and meet with Jesus. And one morning I read this verse, Isaiah 42:6-9. And I said, God, here at the Air Force Academy, you know, people graduate and the Air Force sends them to nations. They send them to bases in Germany, Japan, England, Italy, everywhere. And I thought, wow, I have a chance here to influence these people for you. And it says, I will make you a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, would you use me to influence these people's lives here at the Air Force Academy? I said, well, how many people, God? How many people would you want me to influence for you? How about 100? Does that sound good? And I thought, oh, maybe that's a little too small. And maybe 200. And so I said, okay, 200 sounds good. And it's not like I have a checklist out. All I got, influence this guy today. There's number 167. But I feel like God promised that He was going to use me to influence 200 solid Christian guys at the academy. And if not me directly, some guys I'm meeting with would influence the other guys. So just to see how that promise is lived out, that's like my theme verse at the academy, Isaiah 42:6-9. I've been meeting with the guy, Eddie. He was here last year. He couldn't make it this year. But I've been meeting with him since freshman year, just reading the Bible together once a week. And I also meet with a sophomore named Will. And then just recently, there's these two freshmen, Eric and Alex. I tell you what, it's just been a blessing getting to know them. They just finished their freshman year, the hard part of their freshman year. You know what they told me? They said, Daniel, just because we finished the hard part of our freshman year, that doesn't mean that we want to stop seeking God. We want to keep seeking Him the same amount as we were when it was hard. And after spring break, so for the past 3 weeks, they've been coming to see me because I knew I'd got up and had my quiet time every morning about 6 or so. And so they've been coming over for the past 3 weeks every morning just to read the Bible with me and just to hear what God has to say. And they said they told me just how thankful they are. They said they were praying for an upperclassman they could get together with and someone to mentor them. That's what they told me. And I told them that I've been praying for guys to get together with too. So God definitely put those two guys in my life. And also Isaiah 42:6-9, the last verse says, "Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you." My childhood, I realized my freshman year, my childhood is over. I'm not under my dad's house anymore. I'm my own guy, and I can do what I want. I tell you what, Dad, I am. I'm just so thankful for just the discipline and for being the slave driver that, you know, just, it. I wouldn't be where I am today. And so thank you so much for instilling the hard work ethic and the love of Jesus in me. So there's my story, and praise the Lord.